let's just read the passage and get the gist of it. We all know it, I'm sure, if you're a Bible reader. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We could just close the say amen and go home, man. That's good preaching right there, isn't it? I mean, it's just the word. But you know, as I'm reading that, I'm going over this the last couple days. I had this just the name of Jesus on my mind, and I'm thinking, as I look at this, I think, well, his mission is defined. This angel wastes no time in defining his mission in verse 21. You call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. His mission clearly defined from the very beginning by the angel Gabriel, verified by Jesus himself. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said, for I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so Joseph and Mary were getting not only a son, but they were getting a Savior. Amen? The malady is described right off the bat. He shall save his people from their sins. First time the word sin is used in the New Testament. The Greek word hamartia means missing the mark. He has come to save his people from their sins. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look back on my life and I remember all the times that I missed the mark, I remember all the times that I fell short of the glory of God and all the things that I did when I was a lost man. But I'm glad tonight that he has saved me from my sins tonight. They've been washed in the blood. Amen. They've been cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me anymore. Well, praise the Lord tonight. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. He has saved his people from their sins. Wow. Boy, that's good stuff. Now, aren't you glad? Now, you know, when you as a parent, when you name your child, my wife and I did that 3 times, and it was always an exciting time. What shall we call this child? You know, I don't think we ever knew what our kids were before they came out. We always had 2 names, you know. Well, if it's a boy, it'll be this, and if it's a girl, it'll be that. And it was always an exciting time. Aren't you glad God picked the name Jesus? You know, the name Jesus means God help us or God saves us. That's what it means. Well, I mean, it's his very name defines who he is. Notice in verse 23, it also says that he shall be called, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means in the Hebrew, God is with us. Now, there's no, you know, contradiction there that the angel would say, you call his name Jesus, and then in the prophetic scriptures in Isaiah that he would be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel was more of a title that God is with us. Now, here's what excited me about this, because when you put Jesus and Emmanuel together, here's what I come up with. God is with us to save us. Hey, listen, he could have come up with a whole lot of other means to save us, but he decided to become one of us. And the Bible says that he made no reputation for himself, but he was found in the fashion as a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God is with us to save us. that it's a personal thing, aren't you? Now, do you realize that the name Jesus was pretty much a common name in that day? The Hebrew name of Jesus would be Joshua. Yeshua would be the Hebrew equivalent to the name of Jesus. In the Greek, Jesus was a fairly common name. But here's what I know. That once Jesus was named Jesus, that name never again is common or just, you know, a regular name that people have. When Jesus touches something, it becomes uncommon. Amen? I mean, you don't really see people, you know, normally name their child Jesus. Why? Because that name means something for somebody else. That is a name given which is above every name. Amen? That is the name of Jesus, thank God. Now think about all that we experience or the benefits we have through the name of Jesus. First and foremost, think about this. We have salvation through the name of Jesus. You know why I know that? Because Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Hey, listen, it's through the name of Jesus. And if you didn't get saved in the name of Jesus, you're not saved tonight. You know something? I could write you a check for $1 million. And no, I'm not that well paid. And I haven't won the lottery because I don't play the lottery. But I could write you a check for $1 million and sign my name to it. And you could go to the bank and you could put that check and try to cash that check. And guess what you're going to be? Sorely disappointed. Because my name is not worth $1 million unless my dad's holding out on me. As far as I know, my name is not worth $1 million. But guess what? If that check would be signed by Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or, yes, even Donald Trump, you could take that check to the bank and you could turn it in, and guess what would happen? You would be very pleased because you could cash in on the name. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people trying to get to God coming in different names. There's folks coming under the name of Buddha. There's folks coming trying to get to God under the name of Allah and all these other things. But I want to tell you, listen, all they are bankrupt sinners. And when they get there, they'll realize they never were able to get to God on any other name. But listen, When you come to God in the name of Jesus, when you get saved in the name of Jesus, He's the door, He's the way. And let me tell you something, you can get to God through the name of Jesus tonight. His name is the name we're saved in. And because of that, think about this. Because of that, His name is the name that we preach under. We preach in His name. I got to tell you, there's a lot of preaching out there that I listen to some of the radio preachers and every night, you know, sometimes some of the TV preachers, and, you know, most of them are okay, and most of them, you know, bring a decent message. But I'll tell you, there's some I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for. Because let me tell you something, folks, we are more than motivational speakers. We are preachers of the truth of the Word of God. Sometimes the Word of God cuts us. Sometimes the gospel hits folks right where they live. Let me tell you something. When the disciples went out, Jesus said, go into all nations, teaching them whatsoever things I have commanded you. He told them, preach in the name of Jesus. And on the first day the church was born, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he began to preach in the name of Jesus and said to them, you need to repent for the remission of sin. Let me tell you something. Preaching in the name of Jesus will touch people's lives. Oh, I know some folks come in and I've got emails from people and, you know, notes from people. Well, you know, I don't understand that kind of preaching. I don't know why you get so excited and get so loud. I don't mean to be loud, but I just get excited. You know, hey, listen, if we're going to preach, we need to preach
in the name of Jesus. You know, when you've been in a church for quite some time, and you know, you preach a couple thousand, I've preached a couple thousand messages here from before and then since I've been here as pastor. And you know, as a pastor, you try and, you know, you want to cover, you know, discouragement, and you want to cover prayer and the topic of the church. And there's things, and sometimes, yes, you even preach on tithing, you know. I mean, there's just different subjects as a pastor that you need to preach on. But listen, no matter what the subject is, no matter where we start in the Word of God, listen, we will always, always end on Jesus. No matter where we start in the book, let me tell you, from Genesis to Revelation, there is one theme in the Word of God, and it is a redemption of mankind through the plan God preordained from the foundation of the world, and that plan is Jesus. And so that is what we preach. When we pray, it was like the Lord just verified this in my mind as I was sitting there in the songs and the choir and Laura's testimony and everything that went on. Sometimes it seems like God works that way. You know, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Hey, listen. Jesus taught his followers when they heard John the Baptist that he had taught his disciples, then they heard Jesus pray and they come to him and they say, Lord, teach us to pray as John has taught his disciples. And you know what Jesus said to them? He said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven. Then what did he say? Hallowed be thy name. Let me tell you something. When you pray, you're just sending word home. Amen? And when you send a letter home, you got to address it with the right address. And when we come to the Lord, when we come to God, we need to come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:13, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will give it. Let me tell you something. If we pray in the name of Jesus, thank God. I want to tell you, listen, God opens the door right into the throne room of heaven. An invitation to get right to the throne room of God in the name of Jesus tonight. We have access. Why? Because he is the intercessor. He's why we have access. He's at the right hand of the throne. So we've got to address the prayer rightly. We've got to send it to the right person. And when we do all of that, we can do right praying when we pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, listen, I'm glad for prayer, aren't you? We've heard testimonies tonight of what happens when prayer is sent up in the name of Jesus. We've heard the wonderful testimony of Brother Jim Blevins, Sister Sharon's dad, and how God touched him, and Brother Jerry. Let me tell you something. Hey, listen, that is answered prayer tonight. There's power in prayer. I thank God tonight. When we address it in the name of Jesus, folks, there's power in it. And you know what tonight? Devils have to flee at the name of Jesus. Now listen to this. In Acts chapter 16, it's a wonderful story. If you're a Bible reader, you understand that's when Paul went to Philippi. And when he got to Philippi, he met some folks, and him and his friends began to minister, Silas being one of them. And they were going around the town of Philippi, and there came a woman that began to follow them around in verses 16 through 18 in Acts chapter 16. And she begins to follow Paul and Silas and his other ministry partners around as they're ministering in the city of Philippi. And it says that she was possessed with a demon. And that she brought her masters, it says, she was perhaps a slave woman, much gain by her divination. In other words, she was a fortune teller, and she accomplished this by an evil spirit, by a demon. And so she begins to follow them around in verse 17, and it says, she says this, they are the messengers of the Most High. They declare unto us the way of salvation. Can I tell you something? The devil is well aware of what the truth is. The devil is well aware of God's ministers are, where you're at tonight. Listen, he's not all, you know, present. He's not omnipresent. But he has enough demons to keep track of you and keep track of me. And there he is through her following them around and just bugging them. And what she was doing was distracting them from giving the message. You know what Paul did in Acts chapter 16, verse 18? He looks at her and he says this. He says, "You demon, come out of her in the name of Jesus." Amen. Guess what happened? Oh, you got it. The demon had to flee. Let me tell you something. I think I've met a few people I need to say that to out there in the world. Let me tell you something. The devil is still active on planet Earth, and there are folks still, listen, under his influence. But let me tell you, when you begin to talk about the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. The devil don't want nothing to do with the name of Jesus. You ever have one of those episodes where, you know, I can walk in the woods in total darkness and it does not bother me one bit. But I've been in a few places in certain houses where I've had creepy feelings. You ever had that? You know what I do when I have that? I say, "Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Anytime I have any fear in my life, all I've got to do is call. Now, it's not like it. I'm not saying it's some kind of genie in the Bible. I'm telling you that there's power in the name of Jesus for the believer in Christ. And so the devils have to flee. Can I tell you something? I got a couple more. I'm just excited about the name of Jesus. You know, healing comes. We know we said it through prayer, but you know, think about this, Acts chapter 3. I love this story. I think about this guy, Acts chapter 3. He was brought to the temple that is called, or the gate that is called Beautiful at the temple. And about the ninth hour, it says that Peter and John are coming up to the temple to pray. And you know, just maybe about a little over a month earlier, at about the ninth hour, you know what was happening? Jesus was dying. And here they are at the hour of prayer now, about the ninth hour. He was on the cross at the ninth hour. Well, here they are coming to the gate that is called Beautiful, and this poor beggar is sitting there, perhaps never walked in his life, never enjoyed taking a step on his own, never ran, never did anything like that. And here comes Peter and John, and he looks on them. He's expecting to receive some monetary gift that would ring the cup when they drop it in. And Peter walks up to him and says, "Silver and gold have I none." Now, I thought about that a little bit, and I thought, you know, when Peter said that, I imagine that his heart probably went, "Oof." Oh, you know, he was expecting to receive something. He needed some cash. He needed some greenbacks, you know. He had to survive. And when Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold have I none," maybe he pulled his pockets out. "I don't have anything for you." "Oh," he said, "but such as I have, oh, I got something far greater than what this world can give you. I've got something more precious than all the silver and all the gold in all the world." And he said, "Such as I have, I'll give to you. Now listen, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And this man who had never walked before, how the Bible says, got up, leaped to his feet, ran inside the temple leaping and praising God. Let me tell you, he had a prayer, worship, praise service all at the same time. He was healed in the name of Jesus. Church, oh, what we have as his children in the name of Jesus. Oh, what we have. And you know what Peter did later on in Acts chapter 3? Read this later. Along about verse 16, you know, this guy's having a praise service, and Peter and John are probably standing on the side. Can you imagine? They're probably going, "Well, praise the Lord." You know, they probably walk around, if they had a hanky, man, they probably go, "Well, glory, Jesus did it again." Amen. I'll tell you, when Jesus Jesus comes by, great things happen. And so the Pharisees, they get all worked up. They bring Peter and John in before them. They start questioning them. You know what Peter said? He said, Why are you questioning me as though this man is walking because of what I've done? It's not in my power to do this. But he says this. He says, but this man, as you see him now, was raised in the name of Jesus. He made his defense in the name of Jesus. Church, let's stand on that name. Let's make our defense in that name. Let's share that name. Let's realize all that we have in that name. And let me give you one more. Let me close with this. I'm going to close with this one. I want to get you this verse. Colossians 3:17, he says this. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. So when you feel tired and feel like maybe, your class ain't going nowhere, or kids ain't listening to you, or maybe adults ain't listening to you, let's remember why we do what we do. We do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You every week you prepare that class and get in that lesson because you do it for Jesus. Every time you visit a nursing home, you do it for Jesus. Every time you share a testimony of what God has done in your life, we do it for Jesus. Every time I stand behind this sacred desk and deliver the Word of God one more time, I do it in the name of Jesus. I do it for Jesus. All that we do in the name of Jesus. Didn't Jesus say, if you even give a cup of water in my name, you would in no way lose your reward? He said, even if the smallest things, the smallest acts of service, you say, well, I just don't know what I can do. The smallest acts of service, dedicate to Jesus. Reach out to somebody in a small way in the name of Jesus, and God will bless you. Oh, aren't you glad for that name? Aren't you glad for the name of Jesus?